Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. For this evening's text and meditation, I would like to read a portion of Scripture from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And reading from verse 34 to the end of the chapter, verses 48. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 48. And the words are as follows in the name of the Lord. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God said unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. This is a great surprise for Peter. A great surprise. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, leading him to speak to Cornelius. This was the one who died, who rose again from the dead, who was rejected by the Jews. The Jews, who he came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, and they saw that he was put to death. I just was thinking of an event when I was in the army. It's been about 50 years ago already, when I was there, and it was one day when it was a Saturday afternoon, and this fellow came back into the barracks, and I was there, and I just mentioned that, "Well, where have you been today?" And he says, "I've been to worship God." And I says, "Well, how come you're there today, that this is Saturday?" And he says, "Well, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Jew, and we worship on the Sabbath, Saturday." And then I was asking, "Well, why don't they worship on Sunday then?" And he says, "Well, we don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We don't believe that he rose from the dead. He was a good man, he was a good teacher, but he was not the Son of God whom he claimed to be." And he said, as a matter of fact, to prove that, or the disciples tried to make everybody believe that he was truly the Messiah, they came and stole his body from the grave, and they hid him so nobody could find him. And that's why we don't worship him, we don't accept him. And, well, I didn't argue with him or anything, I just was asking him his reasons, so, and I was really not confessing faith at that time either. But then after I became a believer and I started reading God's word, I found this very interesting and enlightening when I turned to the book of Matthew And in the 27th chapter, when Jesus was put to death, and when Jesus was put to death, in verse 62 and 63, when it says, 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, 'While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come at night and steal him. And then they'll say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last error shall be worse than the first." So Pilate said, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and they made the sepulchre sure, and they sealed the stone and set a watch. And then we know what happened. Jesus rose again, and the angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone, and he tells the women when they come, well, the keepers, excuse me, not the women, but the army or the army men that were guarding, they fainted, became as dead men, and the angel said, "Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Well, he's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." Well, then as we continue on in chapter 28, in verse 11, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel," these are the Sanhedrin council now, "they gave large amount of money unto the soldiers, saying, 'Say ye his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, or we'll take care of you.' So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported amongst the Jews until this day." And I thought, hey, here it says what they did. They paid off the soldiers, and we know that it was a criminal offense for soldiers to die if they were on guard duty, and they could be put to death. But they promised that they would take care of them and bribe them and speak in their behalf that this would not happen. And so it, as John writes, no, this is as Matthew writes, that, "And this is this saying is commonly reported amongst the Jews." And so this man was telling me in his own words that that's what happened. They stole his body. And it is true even today amongst the Jews who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Peter received a command, as we heard in the scripture reading, from the Lord Jesus to feed his lambs, feed his sheep three times. And we find that the Lord had selected Peter to go ahead and to do that. And how do we feed him? By proclaiming the word of God. And it is Peter who was called by God to the household of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And he went there, and as the word tells us, that he opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." Now, Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was an officer. He was in charge of 100 soldiers under him. He was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And in the first century, the Jewish Christians had nothing to do with the Gentiles, so to speak. It was a scandal to even associate with them. But here God told Peter to go take the gospel to him, to go to this Roman man. And Peter obeyed, even though he had some bad feelings, personal feelings, just felt that it was sort of against his will and against everything that he had believed in. And so God had to show him the supernatural vision of bringing down these a sheet of cloth that had all manner of animals and things there to eat. And Peter was commanded by God to kill and eat, and Peter says, "No, for I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And he said there were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. But the voice spoke to him a second time and said, "What God has cleansed, don't call common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. While Peter was thinking about these things, Cornelius had also a vision from God, and God told him that there's a man who's living with Simon, who's called a tanner, who was a tanner, and he sent some men over to seek him, and they came and they found Peter and asked him to come with them. And this is not next door either, it was a few miles away, I'd say about 30 some miles away, and they had to journey by walk or whatever. They didn't have any automobiles to go with. And they told him that there was a man named Cornelius, who was a just man and one that fears God and of good report amongst all the nations of the Jews. And God told him to send us over to your house and that you were to come and speak to him. So Peter went. He went with them. And then they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and he was ready to receive him. Many times God has proved, as we read in the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church, that his ways are not the ways of man, his thoughts are not the thoughts of man, fulfilling the words that Isaiah writes, that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens is above the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts above ours. And often we limit God to ourselves. We begin to look into ourselves and really don't consider the great, wonderful work that God has done, not only for me, not only for you, but for all people. For we know, as Paul writes to Timothy, that it's the will of God that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And the truth, of course, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me." We limit God as to who is acceptable, who is not acceptable, and of course Satan comes around and tells us that we aren't acceptable. But it surprises us, and it could even upset us, because God refuses to be confined. He refuses to allow us to tie himself up, but he does what he wants and in his own way. Of course, we know that the Jewish people believed that God's grace was for them only. And then there was a group of Pharisees who were also serving on the Sanhedrin council with the Sadducees, and they believed that God was only for them. And each group thought of itself as being the ones that were the only true people of God, and that the rest were just of no account. And we know that even in today, it can be amongst us and our people and in groups that God is only for them and no one else. We know that this is quite a revelation for Peter. Luke, who writes this book of Acts, he was a Gentile, and he brings this out. And this was the will of God, to bring in the Gentiles into the fold of God. We read in the first few verses of the 10th chapter about Cornelius. He was a centurion. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. And he is the one that saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. What is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and is living with Simon the tanner. This was the command of God. God was telling him where to go and what to do. Caesarea. There was a certain man in Caesarea. And as I mentioned there, he was about 32 miles or 30 miles north of Joppa. And Peter was in Joppa at the time with this Simon the tanner. And he was staying there. We ask the question when we read this, as to what happens to the heathen? What happens to the people who have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? What is their future? Now we know that Cornelius did not believe in Christ. He hadn't even heard of him. But he was a man who was seeking God. He was seeking. And I believe that this is an example for us, that in the life of Cornelius and his walk, that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. We want God, we want him, and we're looking for him. God is the one that rewards them. And this is written for us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it tells us that. And God made the search that Cornelius had complete. God sends his people, and he sends them in the right time. And he gives them the right information. When God is working, he does things right. And when he begins the work, he completes it. We don't have to start judging as to when are they right with God, when are they not. God begins that work, and his timeline is not like ours. But he does his work, as I said, when and where it pleases him. God sent Peter. Now, Peter was resisting. We know initially he resisted, even as Paul resisted. Jesus asked Paul even, why are you kicking against the pricks or kicking against the goads? Because he was doing everything he could to fight against the Christians and to see that they were taken as prisoners and put into prison, and even consented that they be killed. But Peter, even as the Lord tells him to kill and eat, said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Never. We know that Peter was a man who has said this before. It was sort of his personality. He says earlier, when Jesus says that he was going to go to the cross, he said, I'm never going to forsake you. We know what happened, of course. Peter tells Jesus, thou shalt never wash my feet. We know what happened. And now he says, I will not eat. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But Peter did, and Peter followed through. And he was faced with this view of God that God was presenting to him. He was to feed his lambs, feed his sheep. Jesus Christ's command to him on his last words that he was talking to the disciples. We read in just previous to this in verse 28, Peter tells Cornelius, you know how that it's unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, so soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, what intent have you sent me for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thy alms are in the hand, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou hast come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. We're here. Now tell us what God wants you to tell us. That was really quite an eye-opener for him. The great truth was presented to Peter and even to us, that God is no respecter of persons. We might think that we're very, very important. We might think that we have a very high position in life. But still, God does his work where and when it pleases him. Read in verse 45. In every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation. And we know that in the book of John, when John sees the in heaven, when he has the vision of the heavens and who are there, he says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. They came from all nations, great multitude, no man could number. All nations, tribes, people, different languages, and they were there, gathered before the throne. This is the final days before the end is here. God definitely is not a respecter. There were the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Jesus was baptized by John. John the Baptist baptized him. Why? We know that John the Baptist baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus had no sin. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. But Jesus submitted to every requirement of the law and the ordinances of the Old Testament. Jesus condemned sin. And we know that all who refuse to repent and to turn from sin have no part in the kingdom of God. The Bible tells that many times over. Here was the Lamb of God, whom John the Baptist says, who takes away the sin of the whole world. And the baptism of John, compared to the baptism of Jesus, is recorded for us in the 11th chapter, when Peter was giving testimony of what had happened to him. He says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as unto us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and he gives us life through his death, his suffering and death. Even if the Lord Jesus did good, as Peter is telling Cornelius' household, they condemned him. For he says, him God raised up from the dead the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins or forgiveness of sins. And all of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. For we know that as they heard the word, while Peter was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Peter came there with his entourage. There were the other Jews that had come with him. And they of the circumcision which believed in the Lord Jesus were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost was poured. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It was the power. It was not just words. It was not just words of Peter, but it's he was talking about what Jesus did. He didn't just teach. He wasn't just a good teacher, as this Jewish fellow told me in the army that he went around doing good. But he healed sick. He had immense power. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, because God was with him. He was the Son of God and he was God. This is what Jesus came to provide, was not just some religion. Religions who gather their people and teach them to kill, to make prisoners, to show vengeance, to get even. But Jesus came to redeem and to save. And it cost him his life. He suffered and he died. This is the mission that Jesus gave Peter. This is the mission that he has given to all of his followers, to go and to die to ourselves and to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus who says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So that we would proclaim the truth of the word and that we would bear witness to that truth. And as we do this, we bless others that we come in contact. We encourage them and we love them. For God has loved us, he loves them to turn and to believe in him. And God is with them. He receives and he forgives. When Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. The Holy Ghost fell on them. And the people that were with Peter were astonished, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This was an astonishment to Peter and all. And the order of events that occurred here was not the same order as they were on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. For they were exhorted to repent and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then they would receive the Holy Spirit. Instead, here, these people in Cornelius' household received the Holy Spirit. they begin to praise God and give thanks unto him. And they were speaking with tongues and giving praise and magnifying God. The Holy Spirit gave a sign and a signal that they were accepted. Peter later was speaking when he was called to task it was Paul and Barnabas that were called to task in the 15th chapter. I'd like to mention that is that when there were some Judaizers who came about and they came from Judea and they taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. But Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. And so they went up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And when they got there, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And then he tells us in verse 7 through 12, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, now disputing, that means arguing and so forth. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bore them witness and gave them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they are. Then all the multitude kept silence, and they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought amongst the Gentiles by them. Here it is. They saw that this way was wide open to the Gentiles, not only the Jews. God's love had won Peter, the heart of Peter, and his heart was enlarged and his heart was changed. And this is a lesson for each one of us, that how great is this truth that we believe and that we teach. We believe and we teach. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Peter pleads in their behalf. And Peter never knew the truth of this until he was fighting against it. Paul was the same way. He never understood this truth until he fought against it. And both of them became good workers in the vineyard of God and giving the message of salvation. And the message of Peter was found, as I read it through it, in verse 42 and 43. He commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead, or the quick and the dead here. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And we need that assurance. We need to know that in Jesus Christ we have forgiveness and we have life eternal. It is Jesus who gives us that. And if we don't have it, we don't receive it, then really nothing else is there to convict us. And even when our conscience are convicted, we seek for this and we need it. And it is God who provides it. We know that in the Old Testament, Jews were sacrificing, they were washing, and the heathen or the Gentiles, they sacrificed to their pagan gods. Man always needs something to sacrifice. He has a need and a yearning to offer sacrifices, but it's all in vain. It is only through Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus and those who believe in him, through his name, And through his name, when our sins are forgiven, they're forgiven and all is well. The way is open all the way to heaven, and we can rejoice in this. It was true then, and it is true today, and it will be true until Jesus comes again. For he is the one who reveals himself. And we are forgiven children through the precious name and atoning blood of Jesus. And the gift of the Holy Spirit lives and leads, even if we don't feel it, but it does. And even as Mark writes to us at the end, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who believes not shall be condemned. It is faith that leads us, and it is faith that keeps us. And it is faith that has been given by God, is not generated from ourselves. And we can trust in him who has provided it for us. In Christ's name, amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the grace given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that this word has been given to us to teach the way of truth and to give us assurance that we are your children, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. O Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.